Yeah, that really plays in well to the theme that we've been talking about for several weeks now, life in the kingdom. That's something that we've been talking about week after week. When we talk about the kingdom of God, experiencing life in the kingdom is submitting to God's will. When we submit to God's will, we experience life in the kingdom. Another way of putting that is when Jesus is king of our lives, we experience the kingdom of God. We are in the kingdom of God when Jesus is on the throne. Where Jesus isn't king in your life, you don't have a walk with Jesus. Where there's never been Jesus as king of your life, if Jesus has never actually been the authority in your life, you've never had a walk with Jesus, ever. You don't have life in Jesus. And the whole Sermon on the Mount is Jesus framing what life in the kingdom looks like. To paint a picture for us, what it ought to look like to live life with Jesus, and what it's not. And so this morning, specifically what we're looking at is the fact that even when we're doing the Christian thing, even when we're doing the religious thing, sometimes Jesus isn't king. Sometimes when we've convinced ourselves we're doing everything right, sometimes even then, Jesus really isn't the one who's king. We're not really submitting to God's will. We think by doing something for God that we're doing God's will, when in fact we are doing things for God for our own sake, following our own will and masking it as following God. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be starting a new chapter in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to skip over a few verses this morning. Don't fret. We're going to come back to those. But the theme that we're following this morning forces us to jump over a few verses so that we don't lose a very important passage that is part of the same theme. Jesus has in a parenthesis there he addresses, and then so that's why we're doing that. If you needed an explanation, you may not have. So we're gonna be in Matthew chapter 6. If you would please stand for the reading of God's word, we're gonna read through a set of verses here, and then we'll get to what we're going to talk about. So beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they receive their reward. But when you pray, you go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, for your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And we're going to jump down to 16. And when you fast, do not look like the gloomy hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting, so that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You may be seated. Yeah, we're going to, I want to, before we get into this, maybe to strike at the big idea I'm going for this morning, it'd be helpful for us to start here. I'm going to describe a type of person to you, and after I'm done describing them, I want you to tell me whether this is somebody you would like to be your friend, all right? So I want you to picture someone who likes to sweep in and help you. Not because they care about you, but because they like other people to see that they're a really good person. You know, I don't know. I I don't know many people like that, but you may. But you know, somebody who if they're helping you, that's not because they really care about you, but they like the recognition. They need the recognition, so they help you. Or whenever they're they do something in church or whatever, it's because they need people to know they're good, they're right, that they're a good, upstanding citizen, that they're a good person. Or maybe when they do something and it costs them an awful lot. I mean, they really have to sacrifice to help you out. They do it because you owe them one. Now, if describing that, how many of y'all would want that person as your friend? Now, nobody. Okay, yeah. And most of us, if we try to think of somebody, we might be able to think of somebody, but the reason it's so hard at times to think of someone who fits that is because we don't have friends like that. People like that are not our friends. They just aren't. We don't want to be around people like that. We don't want to surround ourselves with people like that. Even though sometimes we may act like that a little bit, for the most part, if that describes somebody in their entirety, we distance ourselves from people like that. Well, this text, the one I just read to you, describes people like that. Except the difference is, instead of doing that to other people, they do that to God. And so that's what I'm striking at this morning. There are really two ways of doing religion. We do it either for ourselves or we do it for God. There's two ways of walking out our faith. We do it to make much of ourselves, or we do it to make much of King Jesus. So Jesus starts off this whole teaching saying, beware. Now, in the Old Testament, when you see that, that's because there is a penalty or a curse connected to it. When Jesus says, beware, he's telling you, if you get this wrong, it could mean the difference of living your life for Jesus and having life in him, or living your life for yourself and spending eternity apart from him. Serious consequences here. For those of us who know that we have life in the kingdom, it'll be the difference of living a life that actually matters and counts for something and living a life that's totally wasted. You can do all the right things and still throw your life away. That's what he's saying here by beware. That's what he's saying in verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. You can do all the right things and God still look at it and say, sorry, that counts for nothing. There's a way to live where you do all the right things and then everything you do is just throwing your life away. And there are three areas of life, of living out the faith, doing the right things, that display who you're making much of with your life. When you make much of yourself, you're throwing it all away. When you make much of King Jesus, that's a life that really counts in the kingdom. So let's look at these three areas. The first area is serving others. I'm contextualizing this. I'm taking what Jews during this time period, they have certain tenets they taught. If you were a faithful Jew, these are things you did. These are the right things. These are righteous things before God. This is what God requires of you. And so I'm going to translate this a little bit and contextualize them into what we are to do as Christians. Here in this text, he first talks about giving to the needy. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't give to the needy, but I think that he has in mind here something bigger than just giving to the needy. He's talking about serving other people. As Christians, we are called to serve other people. But when we help other people out, we need to think about the why. He's assuming we'll do it. So the what here is taken care of. He's assuming you and I are going to serve other people. But the question is, why? Who's being made much of here? The motives to God matter. It's the difference of your life counting for something and it being thrown away. Are we making much of us? do we want to make much of our church, or are we making much of King Jesus? The motives matter here to God. What he's called us to is more than just faking it and going through the motions. Our heart really does matter. When we serve other people, we can see who it's really about by how we go about doing it. That's what he's talking about here. When he talks about, this is not an argument for private religion, okay? This is not an argument for, well, as long as you, if you're going to be a Christian, you just keep all that in the closet. You know, you don't need to be public about that. That's not the case. In other places in the New Testament, we are to do the good works before men that they may glorify God, that God has made much of. If we do our Christian practice in private totally, never out in public, nobody comes to Jesus. We can't complete the mission God's called us to do, to know Christ and to make him known. So that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is when we serve other people, you can tell whether somebody's doing it so that they get recognition, so that so they make sure there's an audience. If they're going to do something for somebody, they want to make sure other people can see them, that they're visible. Or and if they can't do that, and we're all guilty of this, by the way, if we can't do that, we make sure we drop that just somewhere in a conversation. You know, by the way, we fill that in. We want to sneak that into the conversation so that we get recognition, so that we get notice, so we get the credit that's due to us. And in that moment, well, recognition's not a bad thing. When we do that, though, we're revealing the reason why we're doing what we're doing. In that moment, we're making it about me. We want me to be made much of instead of Jesus. We find out in that moment what we're really about. Jesus is saying you're to do it discreetly because it ought to be about making much of God, making much of Jesus, not making much of you. If you do something and you serve other people, is it all about you or is it all about Jesus? If you don't get recognition, are you done? If you don't get the acknowledgement you feel like is due to you, hey, it may even go to somebody else. Are you done? If that's the case, you are not serving the Lord for the Lord's sake. You're serving the Lord so that you will be made much of, so that you would be glorified. It's another word for being made much of. And you're throwing your life away with religious language, with religious deeds that mean nothing. The Christian faith is not about doing only. We are called to do, yes, but we are also called to live our lives for something more than just doing certain tasks and doing the right thing. The Christian faith is not just about doing the right thing. It's about loving the one who's the only one who's done the right thing perfectly, and that's Jesus. You and I fail at this. And so we're going to go to the next thing. We're not going to get to the relief till the very end. Religious duty. Verses 5 through 6 talk about prayer. And in Jewish culture, that was part of their religious duty. It was what a good Jew did. And since Christians, we're called to all kinds of religious duties. Ours are a little bit wider because we don't have a system of priest like the Jews did. The priest did all the heavy lifting and everybody else just prayed. In Christianity, we are a nation, a people. We are all priests before God. So you and I are called to do the heavy lifting. There's not a profession that only does the heavy lifting. It is the part of every Christian to lift together. And so we serve, we proclaim the gospel, we come together, we worship, we pray, we read our Bibles. These are things we do that are part of our religious duty. They're part of our religious activity. They're part of a way that we honor and grow in our faith towards God. But we can do those things and it still be about making much of us. So who's made much of when we do those things? Us. It's about getting recognition for me. Now, sometimes we do this clever thing. This is why I have our organization or church here, where we say, well, it's not about me. It's about Lamar Street Baptist Church. Or it's about fill in whatever organization that you want to advocate. We We want to be associated with things that are successful. Because we feel like we are something whenever whatever we are part of is recognized as being something. We do this clever little thing where, well, no, it's not about me. It's about, if it's not about King Jesus, it's still about you. We can even make it about the church and promoting the church and getting recognition for the church and still not be about King Jesus. And here's how you know that. When we participate in religious activities, we do it in a certain way. And we'll look more into this in 2 weeks when we get back to this part on prayer. When we do it, here's how you know whether it's about you or it's about Jesus. Are you paralyzed by what people are going to think about how you do what you do? Whether that's praying. Are you concerned with, well, I want to make sure people know that I'm not just a complete heretic, or I'm not a complete heathen. I know how to pray. Or, you know, are you consumed with what other people are going to think when you are serving King Jesus, when you were doing what God's calling you to do? Do people have to know that you read your Bible and pray every day? Do people have to know that, or do you feel like you have to hide the fact that you don't? Let's go the negative route too. It's not just about what you do, it's about what you don't do that you feel like you have to hide in this place. Because look, this is a place for broken people. This is not a place for you to show off what you do or feel like you have to hide what you don't do. This is a place where you need to be ministered to, I need to be ministered to, because we're broken and messed up. But if it's about what other people think, you've missed the point of the faith. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us showing off for each other. It's about us pointing to King Jesus and saying, it's about him. So how do you practice the faith? Is it more shaped by what other people think? Or is it shaped by God, which means it's shaped by the Bible? I'm more concerned with being faithful to Scripture so that I know that I'm faithful to God. Or am I concerned about making sure that people think well of me? If you're more concerned about what other people think, you're throwing your life away. It will mean nothing to God. You'll get what you want on this side of heaven. You'll get recognition. People think you're a great person. You are a godly person. But as far as God's concerned, you've thrown it away. The only things that last are the things that point to Jesus. And finally, he talks about fasting here. This was an act of self-sacrifice. When we sacrifice, who do we make much of? Is it about us? Is it about our church? Is it about King Jesus? What you do and why you do it matters to God. When we sacrifice, the people have to know that we're suffering and we're going through a hard time so that they'll sympathize with us. This is our way of getting credit. We want people to empathize. We want to show people that we are a martyr or that we are suffering. It's so difficult. We need that because it validates us. In that moment, you were demonstrating that your life is not about King Jesus, but about you. Are you seeking the admiration of other people? Are you wanting their sympathy? Are you needing their words of compassion because you just have to have it? Without it, you feel like you're worthless. If this is what you're doing when you are sacrificing of yourself, when you're giving of yourself, you're not doing it for King Jesus, you're doing it for you, and you're throwing your life away. Look, if we are really honest this morning, all three of these areas convict everyone in this room. We all do this. We all do this. But how is it even possible for us to live life in the kingdom? Well, it begins with you and I recognizing that our faith, first and foremost, is not about me and what I can accomplish, what I can do with my own two hands. It's about him. You and I can do nothing in and of ourselves to stand right with God, period. The most religious people that could put on the best front and go through the motions in a way that you and I just couldn't even measure to were not good enough to stand right before God. There was only one man who did that, and that was Jesus Christ. To be in the kingdom, you have to realize you have to die to you. And we have to realize as Christians, this side of the cross, look, first it begins with you going to the cross and beginning life in the kingdom to start with. You recognizing, I can't do this. I need someone who can. And Jesus did. He lived a perfect life. He is not asking you to do anything that he didn't do. On the night before, the night he was arrested, just several hours before he would be crucified, Jesus said, not your will be done. I mean, not my will be done, but your will. He died to himself. Both in the way that he's calling us to do here, he sacrificed of himself, and then he literally did it to the point of death. This is not games here. Jesus gave his life completely so that you and I could have life if we'll just give ours up. He's not calling you to go and nail yourself to a cross right now, literally. He's just asking, don't make it about you. Die to yourself. If you will come to me, submit to me as your king, rest in what I have done for you, you will have life that is unending. You will have life in the kingdom. You will have a full and meaningful life now that's not about you anymore. You're free. You don't have to worry about what other people think. You don't have to constantly be worried about whether people are going to think you're good enough or not. You're not going to constantly have to be needy whenever you serve. And needing people to validate you, needing people to acknowledge you, needing people to recognize what you do so that you think that you matter. It doesn't matter if you're resting in Jesus. He's enough. But as long as it's about you, it'll never be enough. Even when you're doing the right thing, the faith is so much more than doing do's and don'ts. It's more than that. It's not less than that. There are do's and don'ts. It's more than that. It's about Jesus. And if we're willing to die to ourselves, man, our religious life all of a sudden has life. It's not fakery. It's not putting on fronts, putting on masks, even in doing the right things. We can just own when we can't. Because it's not about me being good enough. It's about one that was already good enough for me, Jesus. I rest in him. He's my identity. Not my accomplishments, not my religious deeds, not my duties, not my sacrifice, not my praying. What are you resting in? Who is king of your life? Is Jesus the one you rest in? He's your identity. He's the one that you, when you serve, when you do things, it's about making much of him. Or is it about you? And if it's about you, you're throwing your life away. Even in trying to live for God, you're throwing your life away. Because you've deceived yourself to think that your life is about God. When doing religious things, it's really still just about you. Experience life in the kingdom. It's freeing. It's worth it. It's the best way to live your life. Because that's what you were created for, was life in the kingdom. I want you to experience that. I want you to taste that. I want you to know that kind of freedom, that kind of liberty. So that you can have life in full. This side of heaven and on the other. We taste in part now, which is beautiful. We see in part. One day we will see in full. If you want to do something with your life that matters, that lasts, that means something, that makes a mark that will last for all eternity, your life cannot be about you. It has to be about Jesus. During our time of invitation, I ask you to do some self-examination. Not to just look at what you think that you failed at, but look at the things you actually like to hang your hat on. Well, I do this and I do that. You could be doing those things for the wrong reasons and still be failing to live life in the kingdom. Pursue this. You're not going to arrive. We're in this together. Jesus died and forgives us and restores us so that we can pursue this life in the kingdom together. Be honest with yourself this morning. Because if you can't be honest with yourself, who can you be honest with? Stand, I'm going to pray. If y'all would please stand, I'll pray over y'all and you respond as the Lord leads. Lord Jesus, we just come before you this morning acknowledging that we, even when we do the what we think are the right things, and outwardly they are, a lot of times we still make it about me instead of you. Forgive us. I pray this morning you would restore our hearts and minds, that we would seek to make our lives and all that we do about you, so that we can enjoy the full, meaningful, purposeful life that you've called us to live in you. I pray if there's anyone here who has not experienced life in the kingdom, they've never known you as their king, that they would step out on faith this morning and submit to your kingship and be a part of the kingdom. Help those of us who are trying to pursue life in the kingdom to submit to you so that we could experience life in the kingdom now in part. I ask all this in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen.